So the process of pure devotional service is the process of purifying the heart from all material contamination, all material attractions, all material attachments, and awakening our natural love for Krishna. That is the goal of devotional service. There's no second goal. Or we might say there's all other goals support this goal. Whatever we do in life must be a support for our purification of the heart and not something that derails us or detracts us or moves us away from developing our pure love for Krishna. And so there's so many activities within human society for the human beings that are recommended, such as raising family, taking care of those needs in terms of financial assistance, and maybe education, health care. So many things we do to fulfill our needs in life and fulfill our requirements. But all these things, as Krishna says in Gita, yat karosi, yaranasi, yat jahosi, dadasi, yat tapasi, kuntaya, tad kurusha madarpanam, all these activities of the human society are meant to be geared in the direction of purifying the heart. Therefore, artha, dharma, kama, moksha, are the activities of people in general, performing pious activities, performing activities which situate one nicely in the world and in the activities that are recommended by the Shastras and by society in general. Dharma, artha, economic development, which stabilizes one situation where there is allowance for kama, or sense gratification, or sense satisfaction, according to religious principles. That means not more than necessary, and what is recommended by the Shastras, in order to live, what we say, a peaceful life. A peaceful life. And then, of course, moksha, liberation, getting free from all material sufferings. But there's one purusharta, activities of the human society, which is the goal of human life. All these other things, other activities, are meant to bring us to that goal. And what is that? Premo pumartha mahan. What is that activity? To develop love for Krishna. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sarugabunai sravanari siddhi chitti kuriye udoy. In the hearts of all living beings, naturally, there is love for God. Not just love as we know it in this world, but unlimited, ecstatic attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead that has no other, what we say, you know, connection to anything else. We are naturally attracted. But due to our association with this material world, which is long-term, to associate with the material world doesn't mean just this lifetime. Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Germany, 1974, at one very prestigious university, speaking to college students. And he began his lecture. He said, "You don't know, nor can you possibly know, but it's a fact that you have been in all 8 million species of life. And now you have come to the human form. So this is a great blessing to be in this human form." We don't see it like that sometimes. So we think it's natural to be a human being. But if we actually calculate in our history in this world and in comparison to other living entities, the human life is quite rare. It's very rare, and it's in the smallest number of all the species of life. So to have a human birth means to take advantage of that good fortune by fulfilling the need of human life. And what is that? Prema Pumartamaha, to develop love of God. As Srila Prabhupada would often say in the scriptures, constantly, what we say, emphasize, this is not our home, this material world. This material world is simply a situation where we've been placed in due to our, what we say, misappropriated desires to try to enjoy something that is not enjoyable. That is matter. We cannot enjoy matter because we are spirit. It's like a fish cannot live on the land. You put a fish on the land, it'll flap around for a while, maybe stay alive, but ultimately dies. So when we come into this material world, we actually die. But what keeps life going is that somehow, because we are a spiritual being, we are still acting, but we are not living. Life in this world is not life. It's simply a hard struggle for existence. That's all. Which ends in death. That's all. Nobody wins. Everybody plays. That's the material world. It's the kind of game you can't win, but you can't stop playing. But there's a way out, and that is called by the mercy of Krishna coming through his representative, the bona fide spiritual master. And so, to come again, to emphasize how rare it is to get this opportunity, not only for human life, that's rare, but what is even more rare, as explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is that to come to the platform of pure devotional service. How rare it is. Very, very few living entities actually even see the importance of making this step. And those who actually, Krishna says, manusanam sahasreshu yaschit kintanich siddhaye yatatama visiddhanam kaschit mam veti tatvataha. So many people may even take up the process, but hardly anyone knows Krishna. Krishna also says, Vedaham Samatitani, I know all living beings. I know past, present, and future. But me, Krishna says, nobody knows. So no one can know Krishna fully, but we can know enough about Krishna to get out of this material world and want to go back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada says, to come to pure devotional service, he used an analogy, a little interesting analogy. He said there's a huge ocean, and in that ocean there's a log, and then somewhere in that ocean there's a frog, and that frog decides to surface, and that log has a hole in it, and that frog decides to surface, and he comes up just through the hole in that log on his first surface. He says that's how rare it is to get a chance to perform pure devotional service. So with that in mind, we can understand what gift we have been given. It's the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. And that comes by way of the mercy of the Lord through Krishna's representative. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the process, what we say, widespread. He's made it easier. He's made it easier. But still, even though he's made it so easy, just chant Hare Krishna, take Krishna prasadam, and somehow or other engage yourself in activities of devotion. Still, very rarely does someone take it up, and very rarely someone really focuses on the goal. But we should see the importance of that. And in order to achieve that highest perfection of life, or the goal of life, one has to take shelter of Krishna and take guidance and instructions from Krishna in the form of Krishna's representative, the spiritual master, who is, what we say, deputed by the Lord to serve the Lord by helping or assisting others in service to the Lord. So therefore, in the process of devotional service, there are different stages. Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means initiation. It's the third stage on the process of devotional service. Faith begins. We get a little faith, and that faith leads us to look into the goal of life. And from that of faith, association with what we say, pure devotees. And through that association, we get inspired to take up the goal. And therefore, we take shelter of Krishna's representative. To receive initiation is one of the processes, and it's required. It's not optional. Tad vigyartam guru eva abhigacche. Prabhupada uses this word. He said abhigacche, he said it's not a small word, it's a big word. It means must. One must take shelter of Krishna's representative. And those who see the need are actually very, what we say, endowed with good intelligence. Because no one can make it on their own. It's not possible. Why? Even if you have good intelligence, great abilities, and success in everything you do, still Krishna doesn't allow that process to happen unless one follows the recommendation, and that is that one must take shelter of his representative. And from that shelter, one gets guidance and instructions how to execute the process. So initiation, actually, as Prabhupada said many times, means beginning. Before initiation, we're preparing for beginning. And once we actually understand the goal of devotional service and what this material world really is, in terms of the Shastras explain, and Krishna emphasizes that this place is simply suffering. That's all. And life after life, mitche mayara vese kachu habu bubu vajiv Krishna das, e vishwas koli dara nukadai. So many lives, constantly, life after life after life, until we come to the platform of engaging in pure devotional service. Then we are actually performing the goal of human life. And the process itself, as Prabhupada says, it's easy. But the application is difficult. So does it make sense? The process is easy. Chant Hare Krishna. Follow some simple rules and regulations. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. Simple, yes? Everyone agrees? I don't think anybody said no. But in today's world, you know, when if you preach or speak in that way, it's like, as Prabhupada used the example when his godbrother went to London and he met one lord. This lord also had some connection with Vedic culture, having spent some time in India. And this lord, Lord Jetland, his name was, he said to Prabhupada's godbrother, "Can you make me a brahmana?" He said, "Yes, we can make you a brahmana, no problem. What do I have to do?" "You simply chant the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, and you follow these four simple rules. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling." His response was impossible. With emphasis. So Prabhupada was thinking, when I came to the Western countries, I've imposed something that's impossible. But let me try anyway. And somehow, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, coming through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the impossible has become possible. We develop a higher taste. We develop a desire to attain the goal, and we also feel ourselves losing the attraction for these things. That is the activities of practically everyone in human society nowadays. Now that's the mercy of the holy name. That's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming through Srila Prabhupada, coming through the disciplic succession. So Srila Prabhupada many times in giving initiations, he wanted the devotees to understand the essence of the process. And one of the things he said, you chant 16 rounds every day on beads without fail, and you avoid the 10 offenses. So the chant really means two things. Do this, but don't do this. And he would always have the 10 offenses read, and then he would also speak. So I was thinking today I'd also do that. We can mention or at least go down the list so everyone can, again, it's like each time you come to initiation ceremony, for those of you who are initiated, it's like you get initiated again. Because as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati mentions in one very beautiful article, initiation is not simply the function of a ceremony. It's the heart's attraction to following the instructions of the spiritual master constantly. There was one time, one man, of course this is a pastime in the life of Srila Prabhupada, he came, he got initiation, the next day he left. He left the society. And Prabhupada was asked by one senior devotee, Prabhupada, this man, he came, he got initiated and he left. What is this? Prabhupada said he was never initiated. So the ceremony actually consummates with what's in the heart. But if it's not in the heart, the ceremony is simply a function. It's external. So initiation doesn't mean like, okay, now I'm initiated and now I'm okay. It means beginning. To beginning to give one's life to the instructions of the spiritual master, knowing that these instructions are the best possible way to achieve the goal. That is actually the foundation for spiritual success. That to meditate and to inculcate within our heart and mind constantly the instructions of the spiritual master. Because as we were hearing, those of you who attended last night's function, the personal association of the spiritual master is nice, and it's important, and it endears one to the spiritual master. But that is temporary, and that will be finished in time. But the instructions are our eternal connection with the spiritual master. Life after life after life. Those instructions keep us connected and develop that relationship where it becomes pure and perfect, where there's no difference between the association of the spiritual master and following his instructions. Because when we follow the instructions, we are associating. And when we become absorbed in those instructions, we're actually associating directly with the spiritual master. So I thought we'd go down the list. What is the first offense? Who knows? Yes, this is the hasti aparad. Hasti means elephant. To blaspheme devotees, those who have dedicated their lives to glorifying the Lord and preaching the message of Sanatan Dharma, one should carefully avoid that. If you have a nice garden, you put a nice flower, you plant a seed, you cultivate it, you water it, you take away the weeds, and you give it the proper sunlight and care, but then you let an elephant run in your garden. Finished. So one should be very careful to avoid offending Vaishnavas. And we might say, without bridging the process of understanding of this, that means all Vaishnavas, because all Vaishnavas are special. But of course, those who have dedicated their lives, they are given special mercy by the Lord. So therefore, one should be very careful. But one should avoid offenses to all Vaishnavas. One should avoid offenses to all living entities, Vaishnavas or non-Vaishnavas. As Prabhupada said, you can offend the non-devotees too. And the non-devotees are also Krishna's parts and parcels, we know that. So one should carefully avoid this offense. What is the second offense? Yes, to consider the name of Lord Vishnu to be equal to or greater than the name of demigods like Brahma and Shiva. I'm okay, you okay, you can worship this way, I can worship this way. Worship is worship, right? Doesn't matter, as long as you worship something. You can worship. Prabhupada said, yes, Vivekananda came. He said, why worship the Tulsi plant? You can worship the eggplant. And then at least you get something from the eggplant. Tulsi, what do you get, you know? So he actually made that statement. So worship is not all the same. And so one should see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come in his various forms. And great personalities such as Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva are empowered beings as representatives of the Lord to carry out a particular function. Therefore, to equate them on the same level is considered an offense. The third? Gauravati. That means to disobey or to minimize the instructions of the spiritual master. This instruction is more important than that one. I'll follow this one, but I won't follow that one. You know, Guru Maharaj says so many things, it doesn't really matter. I'll pick and choose which ones I like. You know, I mean, there's some important. I'll chant Hare Krishna, but you know. If he says, you know, I forgot to wear tilak today, but that doesn't matter. Lord Chaitanya said, if you don't wear tilak, you are a walking crematorium. That's Lord Chaitanya. I'm sorry if I'm causing you to become a little nervous. But anyway, That's what it means. He said that to one Vaishnava. If there's no tilak decorating the head, it's a crematorium. So we follow that. Fourth offense. To blaspheme Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of Vedic versions. There's so many scriptures. But some of them are not so important. Therefore, there's one very instructive verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is that one criticizes other scriptures or doesn't see how other scriptures are given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through certain personalities in order to elevate society to a higher state of spiritual practice. So all scriptures are important, although there are scriptures that are mixed with karma and jnana. Still, one should not find fault with these. One should understand them in relationship to the pure scriptures, that is such as Srimad Bhagavatam. But one should not, you know, minimize them or blaspheme them. Number five. To think the word of the holy name. Yeah, the scriptures say so many things about the holy name. And it says if you chant the holy name only once pure, you can go back to Godhead with all, free from all material contamination. I know the holy name is powerful. I know it's important. But to get you to chant, they use these statements, that's all. It's just really euphemisms, it's hyperboles, it's ways to entrap you to chant, but really it's not like that. It's just imagination. Just reputation of a name just causes you to become mesmerized, and that's due to you being mesmerized. That's why you're feeling different. You're just being mesmerized. Imagination. The glories of the holy name cannot even be explained in the scriptures. Srila Haridas Thakur, he writes, or he speaks, that it's the highest form of sacrifice. It's the only activity to purify the heart. It is the best of all charities. It is the best of all vratas. It is the best of all activities within the process of devotion. It's in every category, it's the best, the holy name. There's nothing like the holy name. It cannot be compared. It cannot be understood. It's Krishna in sound. It's the most merciful manifestation of Krishna in this age. Because anyone can chant anytime, any place. It's powerful. And one can be, Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who wants chants the holy name, that person is a Vaishnava. He said that to Satyaraj Khan. Just once, when he was asked that question, who's a Vaishnava? Anyone who once chants the holy name. So it's not imagination, and nor the scriptures give any indication that it is imagination. Number six, interpretation. Okay, let's see. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, her fleece was white as snow. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Allen Ginsberg was singing, the famous Allen Ginsberg. He was doing this. Yeah, any mantra is okay, as long as you sing it nicely with the nice melodies and tunes, and you feel nice. So this mantra, that mantra, this jingle, that jingle, yeah, it's all the same. Comparing it to anything or giving it some interpretation. The holy name is like a good workout in a gym. Or what else? The holy name is like taking a nice swim in the ocean. To compare it to anything, that's an offense. There's no comparison. And to try even to try to think of a comparison, one is bordering on a mental deviation. The holy name is alone, independent, and it is Krishna himself and sound. It is Sabda-Brahma. Kalir Doshini De Rajan Asti Eko Mahagun Kirtana Iva Krishna Syam Mukta Sangam Param Bhajam. Out of all the activities in the age of Kali, there are so many. The holy name is powerful and pure. And there's nothing to compare to the holy name, and one can immediately, through pure chanting, enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, one can be in the spirit, in pure spiritual consciousness. So Krishna's name is Krishna. Number seven. Now I have the formula. It says, the holy name can relieve you of all sinful activities, therefore let me go out and commit some sins, and tonight I'll chant Hare Krishna. Do a little illicit sex, some intoxication. I know, I can't give it up yet, but I can just go to the holy name, and it'll free for me from the reactions of my sinful activities. This is called Nam Nam Balahi. What is it? Nam Na Yasya Bala Apapa Budhi. It is considered to be the most dangerous or the most deviant form of mentality. It's a cheating mentality. One time there was a group of devotees who joined, a group of people who came from a very charismatic guru. They joined the Hare Krishna movement in Hawaii. Many of them came, more than 50, with this charismatic guru. And he loved Prabhupada, And he served Prabhupada nicely. He brought all his followers. Many of them took initiation. But after some time, he started to differ with Prabhupada, and so he broke away. And many of his followers left. But they still decided to chant Hare Krishna. But they were smoking that stuff you're not supposed to smoke. It's called weed. And so someone said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, they're still chanting Hare Krishna. Isn't that good?" Prabhupada said, "There's no benefit because they're committing sin on the strength of chanting. They're breaking the principles, and at the same time they think they're all right simply because they're chanting Hare Krishna. So it doesn't work. The holy name is a person, and the person knows, okay, you're trying to get my mercy, but at the same time you're trying to break my instructions, therefore my mercy doesn't work anymore. Krishna withdraws himself from that, the holy name, and then it's just a sound, that's all. It's five letters. So one should see that, okay, if one somehow, Prabhupada said, one somehow or other makes a mistake and somehow falls into some sinful activity, that is excusable. And one can simply pick up and begin again. But one consciously thinks, knowing that this is wrong and one will do it, thinking that I can get relief through chanting, that is a deviant mentality. I don't think devotees have that problem. But in the early days of Krishna consciousness, it was like that. I can remember, you know. Okay, number eight. Who knows number eight? This is a tough one. Vedas as fruit of activities, karma kanda. The scriptures talk about activities for elevating one's consciousness. And these are called kamakanda, ritualistic performances of various ceremonies and sacrifices, certain pujas, certain vratas. And the Vedas are full of that. Krishna says to Arjuna, what is that verse? It's Bhagavad Gita 3:46. I think it's 3:46 or yeah. Oh, I can't think of it. Such a nice verse. He said the Vedas deal with the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, Arjuna. Be transcendental. Be free from all anxieties and all dualities, and be fixed in the self. So the Vedas are full of karmakandic activities for elevation. And people think that this is as good as any other activity. But to compare these Vedic processes of elevation to the chanting of the holy name and say, okay, well, you chant your holy names and I do my pujas and it's all the same. No, it's not the same. The holy name is Chaito, that purifies the heart. These things, these karmakandic things, purify us from some material tendencies and sinful activities, but they don't purify the heart. They don't purify the heart. So one should avoid that comparison. Number nine, anyone? We do that, right? We give a lecture. There's a lot of people who are not really so faithful sometimes, but we speak. We take that chance. But on a one-to-one basis, if someone is speaking and someone is not accepting, then don't, what we say, push. Better to just say, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy. If you chant Hare Krishna, you actually can purify your life. But the higher goals, like saying that you can become an eternal associate of the Lord in the spiritual world, which you can, which is part of the process of chanting. People may not understand or may not believe. And if you force someone, then they also commit offense, and therefore their spiritual life may be impaired, or the opportunity for their advancement will be impaired. So one should be very sensitive to that. And number 10? After hearing so many instructions on the holy name and how the holy name is so pure, and that one simply can chant the holy name and be free from all sinful activities, doesn't have that faith yet. One still maintains material attachments like that. One still stays in the bodily concept of life. What is that bodily concept? I and mine. So maybe devotees struggle with number 10. How to develop that full faith in the chanting of the holy name as the exclusive process for purification. Because through the holy name, everything else follows. Our understanding of scripture, our ability to serve, the quality of our relationship with Vaishnavas all center around the holy name. Okay, and then there's one more. A little louder. Inattention. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that by following the 11th offense, you avoid, or you have a there's a tendency to avoid the other 10. So by attentive chanting, your tendency to commit other offenses is gradually and greatly reduced. So one should very carefully chant the holy names with attention. Okay, so these 10 offenses are very important to remember. Sometimes we actually recite these every day as part of the morning program, just to emphasize how important they are. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan ki jai.
There is a will, there is a way. And Bhakta Will has found his way. He was lost in the material wilderness for millions of lifetimes. Somehow he surfaced this lifetime in West Africa, somehow made his way to England at the age of 14, somehow bumped into the devotees, came across the Bhagavad Gita, and decided this was his calling in life. Krishna was calling, and Will has answered. He joined the temple, considered very deeply everything, and after due consideration of several years, has decided to take this important step in Krishna consciousness. As His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj was explaining, it is a necessity in spiritual life for one to go through the process of diksha or initiation. And Bhakta Will now begins, formally speaking, his real spiritual life. Although, even for the last few years that he has been here, he has been rendering wonderful and enthusiastic devotional service. Now the formal connection to the disciplic succession will be established, and he will be formally included in the community of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, those following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and particularly the followers of Srila Prabhupada. So on this very important day, on behalf of all the devotees, we would like to wish him a very, very happy, purposeful, sincere, enthusiastic, and dedicated life of sacrifice in Krishna consciousness. He is very fortunate to have a wonderful spiritual master like His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, who embodies so many wonderful Vaishnava qualities. And on this occasion, we would like to congratulate Bhaktavil and pray to the deities, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Gaurnitai, and Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman for his continued progress and eventual success in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so thank you, Maharaj, for speaking of Bhaktavil. So if Will can now make his way. So if you can kindly first offer your obeisances to the deities, then Srila Prabhupada, and then to Chandramouli Swami.
So what are the four regulative principles?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. The four regulative principles are no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication.
And do you promise to chant at least 16 rounds on beads every day?
Yes, I promise to chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra on beads every day.
Not minimum, but no, minimum. At least. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, if you listen to Prabhupada and you read, he said, we should be chanting 24 hours a day. Constantly he preaches like that. That's what it means to actually to practice Krishna consciousness. 24 rounds, 16 rounds on beads is a minimum. I received an email from Kaneya Prabhu when I was a few days ago, and I was said that Will is now willing to make that step. And of course, he's always been very, very serious about his Krishna consciousness. If you want to meet someone who is very serious. And Prabhupada said this is what's required in order to practice Krishna. One has to take it very, very seriously. And he does, in everything he does. He's very thoughtful and very, very serious in his devotional life. And for me, that's a real inspiration to see that. So it was 3 days ago I received the letter, and I was thinking, what name can I give? Because I hadn't thought of a name. I just happened to be at a place where all the people were worshiping a particular form of the Lord, the whole family. They were absorbed in this form constantly. Pictures, deities, the mood. And I looked around and I was thinking, maybe this, yeah, it actually fits. And then I said, no, I better not. But then, but then a voice came and said, don't change. So they were absorbed in Lord and the Sringadev. So your new name is Nisringa Tirtha. Lord Nisringa has many tirthas. So the embodiment of all tirthas, of course, is that wherever Lord Nisringadev is, that's a tirtha. So, Nisringa Tirtha. I hope, I'm sure you can live up to that name. He has that mood also. Those of you who know him, that's, of course, it's a very satisfying mood. The determination. Lord Nisringa Dev destroys material obstacles. He purifies the heart from material activities, and he destroys material illusions and gives protection from dangers in this material world. So, Nisringa Tirtha Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh. Beats. Just as an instructive statement, I had a little, see this little thread? It should be after the eighth beat. I was at a lecture, Jayapataka Maharaj was giving initiations, and somebody gave the beats and didn't have that, and he said, beads without a string, mayavad. So, the beads are the gopis. There are 8 principal gopis, and of course there's 108 more, less principal. And then as you go up, there's 1,008, and all the way up to 3 billion gopis as a way to describe unlimitedness. But for the first 8 beads, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, we should have a string after that. That's Vaishnava beads. Okay. Hare Krishna. Nisringa Tirtha Ki.
So we're going to have the vice sacrifice. Maybe if Maharaj, would you like to?
Do you like your name? Some people don't like their names, but they don't say anything until later. You like it? Okay. Yeah, you don't have to.
Arivo.
Thank you.
Nisringa Tirtha Prabhu Ki. We're now going to have the fire sacrifice, so we'd... If Nisringa Tirtha Das can come and take a seat, did we want Maharaj to come and take a seat as well? If Maharaj can also come and take a seat, and anyone else, everyone else can come and join us here. And of course, as I said, there's a feast this morning in honor of Chandramouli Maharaj's mother who passed away. So all of us can remember her in our prayers today. Hare Krishna.